Scripture passage for today is 1 John chapter 3, verses 19 to 24. The Word of God says, "By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before Him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and He knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him. And this is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as He has commanded us. Whoever keeps His commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that He abides in us, by the Spirit whom He has given us." Something I'm sure I could grow in as a father is to always ensure that my children know that I love them, no matter how they fail. When I punish them, they'll certainly know that I'm displeased. They can hear it in my words, they can see it in my eyes, they can know it from my actions. But they have to be assured that I love them through it all. They might not always feel it, but they still need to be sure of it. And if you're anything like me, as we've gone through 1 John, there have been times when the words that God, through John, has communicated and has left you with some concerns. We've learned that Christians don't sin. We've been told that to love the world means the love of the Father isn't in you. We've been told that a real Christian will love his brother and will meet his needs. John says all this matter-of-factly. He says it bluntly. Doesn't give us any wiggle room after or any footnotes at the bottom for explanation. He simply says, this is what a Christian is, and we need to hear it this way. If we didn't, God would have led John to write it differently. But we need black and white. We live in a day of wiggle room where hard truths with hard edges are seen as unloving. John hung around Jesus too long for that, though. He knew that love often came in the form of direct challenges. And I have to imagine that there were a number of uncomfortable silences around Jesus with the things that he said, because he said hard things out of the goodness of his heart. And people were left to wrestle with the truth. John the Apostle has said hard things to us here. And I have personally spent time wrestling with the truths. And I'm sure that my heart hasn't always responded in the way of faith. I think to myself, do I love the world more than I think I do? Am I really a Christian? Man, I have more sin in me than I ever thought that I did. Am I really a Christian? I didn't love her the way that I should, or him or her, but I'm pretty sure I did love myself fairly well. Am I really a Christian? And that's where we are here when we get to these verses. And it seems that John anticipates this kind of response. Look at verses 19 and 20. He says there at the very beginning of verse 19, by this. And he's talking about what he just said in the last passage. By this, the way that you love your brother, even in meeting his practical needs, by that you will know that you are of the truth and can reassure your heart before him. And so loving the fellow children in the household of God is evidence that you are of the Lord. He put that love in you. And when it comes out of you, you know that you are his. You belong to him. But again, if you're like me, you've read some of these truths that he's taught to us, and reassurance isn't the first thing that comes to your mind. It might be condemnation. But John hasn't written this letter to the people of God so that they would become doubters whose faith will fail. He says instead at the end of the letter, "These things I have written to you that you might know that you have eternal life, not to trip you up on the journey." But he's written these things to help you press forward. And I don't know what doubt and condemnation does to you, but it makes me stumble and struggle. And that's not John's intent here. So he anticipates the response of our weak and doubting hearts here that say, Lord, you say, I will know that I'm of the truth and I'm going to have a reassured heart when I see the way that I love the brothers, but what if I'm not seeing that love in me? I don't think that I'm closing my heart against them, but I don't always feel compassion and generosity either, and I'm really struggling to remember any acts of love right now. I'm sure that they're there, down deep in there somewhere, but they're cloudy right now. But I sure can remember the times when I didn't really feel like helping, or this person or that person was an inconvenience. But here I am talking to you, though, and I think I'm believing in the cross. I know I have nowhere else to turn but you. I hate that sin that's still inside of me, but I'm struggling. And right now, my heart isn't assuring me. It's condemning me. And what do I do about that? Can you relate to that? I can. And the Lord knows it. And he's not looking to be a terror to his people, but a comforter. The Lord doesn't want you to stay in doubt. He wants you to have confidence. And before I press in further to this passage, I just want to point you back to chapter 2, where John, this loving pastor, did the same thing back there. He had just finished telling these people that whoever doesn't keep God's commands but says he knows the Lord, that man is a liar. And whoever loves his brother abides in the light, but whoever hates his brother is in the dark. And that's right where we are here again in chapter 3, right? Similar contexts. And he writes three verses back there in chapter 2 that don't seem like they fit in very well. He says, I am writing to you little children because your sins are forgiven. Do you remember that? He writes something to fathers and young men, telling them how they're strong and how they know that they know the Father and they have overcome the evil one. All of it seems so oddly placed until you realize he's a pastor who wants to strengthen these people right after he has said some very hard things. The writer to the book of Hebrews does the same thing. He writes one of the most challenging passages to that congregation, telling them that the one who falls away can't be restored to repentance, since they would be crucifying Jesus again and holding him up to contempt, words that are pretty scary. But then right after he says that, he says this to these people. Though we speak in this way, yet in your case, beloved, we feel sure of better things, things that belong to salvation. You can see the pastoral heart in that writer. Is as soon as he says something very difficult, he comes back to them with words of confidence. God's people need strong warnings. We need them so that we can examine our hearts and examine our lives for faith. But we also need encouragement to remind us of who we are. Just like my children need strong admonition, solid discipline, but if that's all that they ever get, they live in fear. Unsure of their relationship with me, and yeah, I might get them to do the outward obedience that I'm aiming at, but I won't get it out of love. I won't get it out of a changed heart. I won't get it because they delight in righteousness for its own sake, but because they don't want any more anger out of me. God is looking to draw out from his children a response of love because they are now able to love like he does. So he's not drawing blood out of a turnip. He's encouraging love with love. He's feeding us what he wants us to give. Look at verse 20. The beginning of that verse says, for whenever our heart condemns us, So John is anticipating that our hearts are going to be condemning us here. He says, I'm struggling. My heart is condemning me. And what is it then that I need to hear? Do I need to hear more hard truths, more of my failures heaped onto the pile that's already there? No. He knows that I need to be reminded of who God is toward me. Who is this God? My heart is condemning me. But God, who is merciful, God, who gives grace to the needy, God, who delights in binding up the wounds of the brokenhearted, He is greater than my heart. Your heart is standing over you like a really good lawyer in a court of law, and he's testifying about all the times that you haven't loved your brother. It's building a case where you can't even remember the last time that you gave a drop of water to a thirsty man. But every time your heart even pushed back at meeting a need of another, all of those times are right there in the very front of your mind, and your heart says you are a wicked sinner, and you know the jury will convict and they will pass sentence on you. And what is it that you need to hear? God is greater than your heart. My heart is not my final judge. I know that's what it feels like right now. But my feelings are not my final authority. My failures are not what defines me. All of that only directs me back to the Lord, who is greater than my heart. Praise God for that. He is the only one who could overcome my wicked heart. He is the only one who could conquer my doubts and overturn my condemnation. And so this life with him began with a sense of my desperation, me crying out for mercy. And he responded then, and he responds now. My relationship with God is not determined by how much fruit I'm producing. It can be shown by it. It can be proved by it. That's what John has been telling us. Love for the brothers shows that the love of God is present. It's proof. But, and we need to grasp this every day, I don't primarily look at me for assurance of salvation. I look at Christ. Doesn't your heart desperately need that? My heart doesn't need more looking at me and how great or how poor I'm doing. My heart needs more looking at Jesus, at how great His love is in spite of my poverty. He is greater than my heart. He has to be, or I will surely be lost. And John has this little cluster of words after this that we might be tempted to overlook. But he says afterwards, and He knows everything. He, God, knows everything. He knows every one of those failures of yours that you know. Everything that's there on the front of your mind, He sees all of that. But you know what? He sees more than that too. He knows everything. Every failure of yours to love like Christ that you have completely put out of your mind, or maybe you never even thought twice about, He sees every one of those too. And you think your heart is down now. What if you saw, your heart saw like God did? And yet He still gives more grace. How merciful is this God? Far more than you can comprehend right now. Your heart will condemn over a molehill of failure, but God's mercy is greater than a mountain. He knows everything, and yet He still calls you His child. God's truth is here to stir our hearts to delight in Him, not sit around wallowing in our condemnation. And while it's important for us to know that God knows every failure, it's just as encouraging for us to be reminded that He knows every act of faith that comes from you too. Even the smallest flame that's flickering on a matchstick is still fire. And even the weakest offering of faith is still faith. Though it's small, yet it is real. God sees the smallest graces in you and knows they are from Him. And you might not be able to see them or remember them. But what a comfort it is to us to know that God does see them and knows them. And every now and then you are shown something about your character that's changing. Maybe it's just out of nowhere. God helps you to see a difference in you right now than maybe you would have been 5, 10, 20 years ago. You have peace today. In this situation or that circumstance, or when you're around these particular people, when you once had fear. You're slow to anger now at those you used to snap at regularly. God graciously makes you aware of His presence and His power in you, reminding you that you were His. Or maybe a faithful saint speaks a word of encouragement to you. As I was about to work on this message, a dear woman of God gave me encouragement that I never could have given myself. She was the Lord's messenger to my soul. This is why we shouldn't fail to speak to one another about the good growth and fruit that we see on another brother or sister in Christ. We spend too much time looking at what's growing on us and not what's growing that's good on them. Maybe today you've taken note of something in a fellow believer that it would be good for his soul to hear, where you can say to him, I see God's grace in you. Don't withhold if you're able to give, because we can be God's messengers in that moment to encourage their hearts that God sees and knows everything. And so, yeah, He knows the bad that you don't even know, but He also knows the good that your eyes aren't able to see. John says, I write these things to you that you may know you have eternal life. Why? So that these dear Christians will live and blossom in confidence, not wilt in doubt. The Lord is strengthening our hearts. So He says, verse 21, Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. That's what the Lord wants us to have. He wants us enjoying our fellowship with Him. Confidence that we are His children, not doubting it. He wants us to be strong in Him, glorifying Him. And we don't do that when we doubt that we even belong to Him. Confidence in Him honors Him. And He blesses this confidence with His gifts. Two ways He does this and we'll be done. The first gift we see from our confidence that we are His children is in verse 22, look with me. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him. Whatever we ask, we receive from Him in prayer. It's answered prayer, a gift of this confidence. God delights in answering the prayers of people, He says here, who keep His commandments. Whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments. So, John, what does it mean exactly to keep the Lord's commandments? And the answer comes right there in the next verse 23. He says, and this is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. So when we do His commandments as His children, confident in Him, the Lord answers our prayer. When we believe in the name of Jesus Christ, and when He says the name of Jesus Christ, He means everything associated with who He is, that Jesus is God incarnate, our Redeemer, our Shepherd. He is my Sustainer. Everything the Scriptures claim Jesus to believe to be, I believe it. But He also says here, when we love one another, that's His commandment. When we desire the good of others for the sake of Jesus Christ. When I come before the Lord, believing in my Savior, aiming in my requests for the good of others, I can pray with confidence as a child of God that my Father hears me and He will honor my request. If I am praying as a doubter and out of some other intent than to love, I do not need to think that my prayer will be heeded by the Lord. The book of James says it more directly in two different verses, that faith plus love equals God hearing your prayer and honoring your request. James chapter 1, he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. Pray for it. Pray for that wisdom. And God, who gives generously to all without reproach, He'll give to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. In short, James says, no faith, no answer. A few chapters later, he tells us about praying in love, not out of selfishness. He says, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. So James again, no love, no answer. To put it simply, prayer malfunctions when we don't ask in faith out of love for our brother. That's the first gift the Lord gives us when we have hearts that are confident before Him, that we are His children. We belong to Him. We're assured that we belong to Him. He hears and answers our prayers. The second is in verse 24. Whoever keeps His commandments abides in God, and God in Him. And by this we know that He abides in us by the Spirit whom He has given to us. There is an abiding with God, a closeness to God, a fellowship with God when our hearts have assurance that we're His, when we keep His commands. Brothers and sisters, disobedience is the thief of assurance. The assurance of salvation, that calming influence of the Lord in the hearts of His children, is given to those who, though they have sinned, they hate it, they turn from it, and trust in the cleansing power of Jesus' blood. They don't continue to walk in that sin, walking in disobedience. You will not be walking closely to the Lord if you're holding hands with sin. His abiding presence is the gift of repentance, faith, and love. And so when it comes right down to it, if you are pursuing assurance with the Lord that you're His, if you want a heart that does not condemn you because you're trusting in Jesus, you will gladly lay your fleshly pleasures, your self-centered desires at His feet, because Jesus is greater than our sin. More desirable, more agreeable, more faithful, altogether more valuable and satisfying. Faith knows that, sees that, and will look to honor Him. Who doesn't want these wonderful gifts of an assured heart? The promise of them that God makes to us only strengthens us in our love and obedience to Jesus Christ. It presses us forward. A good father doesn't bribe his children to do what he wants, but he certainly rewards them. The reward should be aimed at teaching their hearts to do what pleases him. They are tokens of his love that remind them that they are his children. Assures them of it. And so we are. I hope that all of us can have a confidence as we come before the Lord, hearts that are assured before Him that we belong to Him, because we trust in Jesus Christ and He provides for us to love our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time and Your word. We thank You, God, for the assurance that You give our hearts, even when we struggle to see love and obedience. In that you are merciful to turn us to see Jesus Christ, our Savior. And remind us that we are accepted and delighted in through him, the one who loved us and gave his life for us. Turn our hearts to him today, Lord, and push us forward to love others as he has loved us. Grant us that, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.